let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program. The Legacy episode series by Robert Maxim highlights advanced scientific and spiritual concepts written in lyrical, romantic prose. Most of all, Legacy is a powerful love story, deeply rooted in the man's unquenchable, desperate search for the vastness of space and time for his loved one, his soulmate. Read and experience incomparable truth. Learn how beings live on other worlds, what they believe in. Most of all, see the evidence in the Legacy series. Robert experienced several sleep time visits to other worlds as a child, witnessed countless alien craft. These visions continue to date in both wake and sleep states. He studied concert piano starting at age 3, but changed his calling to science following these visionary experiences. The book series is the culmination of these experiences, shared with the world for the first time. Robert has spent 40 years studying science, religion, the science of life, presented by Dr. Ernest Norman, validating his visions starting on July 13, 1973. Robert proceeded to confirm his sightings and experiences with other established sources, such as George Adamski, personally met brothers from other worlds that helped instruct him over the years. The book series is the result of such visionary and confirmation efforts written in novel form. Back with us on This Week in America, Robert Maxim, author of the Legacy episode series. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me on your show.
I just realized that when I was mentioning July 13th, 1973, on the day we were recording this, we're real close to an anniversary.
Yes, we are.
Does it seem that long ago when this whole experience began for you?
Oh, gosh. It was just so vivid that it feels like yesterday. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to forget. It's something that you live every day and you practice everything you learn. You keep it with you. You just never part from it. It's more real than any other life that you have here physically.
You know, it's interesting, and I threw that in at the beginning, and we'll get to listeners' questions here in a minute, but you've talked about it before, and the way you describe it, it was like it happened to you last night. That vividness is still there, isn't it?
It is. Some individuals have dreams, but some others have out-of-body experiences, and your consciousness is going with you. My consciousness was there, and not only on my return back to the physical, those beings were right there, right beside me in my bed, all five of them. And I had contact with them for about a minute before they actually waved goodbye, and I didn't want them to go, but
no, yes,
they left. But this happened over and over and over again. So how can you forget something like that? How can you trade it for even the most valuable jewel, the most prized belonging in this world? It's just no comparison.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, Legacy series, Legacy episode series, check it out at his website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, and of course at Amazon. Questions flooding in after the last program. I will get directly to those questions. This is interesting, and well, they all are actually, but I find this one interesting. My grandson is 15, loves music from the 60s. Could that be because he was in another life during that period?
Interesting. You know, when I was a teenager, I also liked music from the 60s. It turns out that in my previous life, I grew up to the music of Tommy Dorsey. You play something from Tommy Dorsey, immediately I love it. So there is a ring, maybe not the 60s, maybe something below, but the melodic transition from one period to the other being so similar, it could have striking similarities. So I would say definitely, as was my case, this individual may have lived in the 60s or perhaps even the 40s or 50s.
You know, I mentioned in the beginning you played piano, concert piano, starting at age 3. Did that have something to do with you in a past life?
Yes, it did. I worked with those who are into classical music recognize the name Tchaikovsky. I was his assistant. So that's one place where I get my musical training from.
Okay.
Also in the 1750s as an Italian pianist and violinist. Can give you the name Giuseppe Valentini. The assistant to Tchaikovsky, his name was Alexei Sofronov. So those two lives were musically preparatory for this life.
Wow. Okay, Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. By the way, Robert will say something at least once during the course of the program that will get you going, wow, I got a question. And we've got the place to get the answers. Just get them to us, comments at thisweekinamerica.us or Robert's website in Argaetan, GRGAETAN.com, and we'll get those on a future program. Next question, do you believe in channeling, or is it another supernatural myth?
Well, channeling is everything that we do. Every thought, every feeling, every emotion, even every dream, believe it or not, is channeling. It's coming from us. So we are channeling what is in us. Where it gets a little complicated is the source. Now, the source can be personal or conscious level. The issue is this. Most individuals don't have a clue who is giving the information or from or why. So in channeling, if one does not do a deep dive study of themselves and know themselves, their feelings, they can easily be beguiled by inappropriate sources. And I have seen this happen more often than not, where a person will be channeling and will say, well, I am channeling so-and-so. And I go, uh-huh, really, okay. Because it just doesn't feel, I can feel that being is not there.
Yes.
Is this person's ego is making this up. So we have to be very careful. Is it a myth? No. It's very real. The problem is you have to know who you're channeling. Is it your ego? Is it your higher self? Is it really another being? Is it a good being, a bad being? That's the art behind this thing.
We'll take your questions. All you do is go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, comment section, and fire them off to us, which many of you do, or through Robert's website. We'll give you that information throughout the program. Do all of us reincarnate?
Yes, absolutely. It's part of life. If you don't reincarnate, like Jesus said at one time, you really cannot learn creation. You cannot understand God. So when Jesus said, you must be born again, the word born again basically means it's henao anoten, which means come back from the heavens to life. So he said, if you don't do that, you cannot understand God. So since our mission in life is to go towards God, to evolve, to progress, then yes, you must reincarnate. It's part of the job.
Interesting. So we all do. It's not like some are chosen, some are not. We all, it just, as you said, it's part of the life cycle that we go through.
That is correct. And let me take the listener just a little bit further. What if I said that every atom reincarnates?
Okay.
About every waveform reincarnates. We have to remember that every force, every atom in this dimension appears and disappears, appears and disappears, appears and disappears. That's what I call a miniature reincarnation. So the atoms in my hand, in my body, they are clicking on, off. When it goes off, it goes up to a higher dimension. It gets recharged. It comes back down again. Disseminates this energy, goes back up again, goes down, up and down. That's reincarnation. Our atoms do it. Our souls do it also, but over a much longer cycle. The atoms are flicking on and off trillions and trillions of times per second. our soul or consciousness is reincarnating every 80, 100 years, for some a little bit longer.
Yes.
But that is part of life. Life has to go up and it must come back down again until it's done with this dimension and it can move up to a higher layer of creation, a higher dimension.
Next question. The host mentions in his introduction that you have visits in sleep and wake states. How do they occur when you're awake?
I don't call for it. It's an arrangement that I have made with higher sources, higher beings, masters, prior to being born. Now, they call on me when the time is right. And as Jesus said of myself, I do nothing. It is the Father within that does all things. So I don't make the call. Sometimes I request, and a request can be honored. Sometimes it is not, because it's not the right time. My masters know when the right time is, and usually they will make that connection from the top down. I could be asleep. I could be awake. I could be on a conference call at work. I could be talking to an individual or driving, and boom, there it is.
So it does happen like that. It's sort of like out of nowhere this will happen.
Exactly.
Interesting. So you're working, you're driving, and suddenly the visit will occur.
The visit, even the astral flight.
Okay.
For a couple of months, I was having an astral flight every couple of minutes. I would leave, come back. Then I would leave again, come back. And it was a little hilarious because I was going to the same place. And the beings on the other side were saying, "You're here. Hi. Bye. Boop. I will be back."
Just
then I'd be back again and said, "Oh, you're here. Hi. Bye. Boop." Back.
Yeah, passing yourself leaving as you're coming back again. It was just on a rope there. It just incredible. Robert Maxim, our guest, if you just joined us, author of the Legacy Series. The Legacy Series based on real-life experiences written in novel form, and you hear those experiences as he's answering your questions, the questions of the viewer and the listener. Next question is, do aliens have bodies similar to what we have? Do they look like us?
Well, some do, yes, but some others somewhat similar, eyes, nose, ears, body, head. But others are vastly different in form. We have all heard reports of what is called the reptilian race. There is an example. They look reptilian. They have eyes. They have arms. They have legs. They look like reptiles, but they have the basic, shall we say, physical elements that a human being has. There are reports of, by the way, I've seen those reptilians. There are reports of other types of beings as far off as aquatics. There are other type of insectoid creatures. The universe is not limited to just the human form. So the variety is enormous, and we're just beginning to open up our eyes to the possibilities that there are other forms in creation. Stepping outside of the physical realm, you enter into the spiritual realms. Do those beings have bodies? They have energy bodies, and that's a whole other classification. The ones I have seen look like a candle flame. Absolutely beautiful, scintillating colors of all sorts. The level of intelligence in those beings is so vast. I feel like I am a trillion years away from being able to captivate or understand what they can tell me in a split second. Incredible amount of intelligence.
That's amazing how quickly that happens, and the time difference between here and other worlds and other beings. Question from a listener. Many of us are part of groups based on our religious beliefs, like Christians, Muslim, Hindu, others. Even more specific, such as Catholic, Methodist, and the like. Are you part of an organized group like that?
No, and here's the reason why. By belonging to a group, don't I distance myself from my other brothers, become biased and limit my knowledge of God? God does not want isolation. He doesn't. He wants unity. He wants brotherhood. Even though our understanding of God may be different from one another, we should not be isolated. Just to bring this to focus, now this is as of last year, there were 43,000, not churches, but different Christian faiths out there. 43,000. God doesn't want us to be divided at all. That's not the principle of loving your neighbor. So dividing yourself into groups, if God doesn't want that to happen, whose invention is it? It's man's invention. It's not God's will. But my belief has the truth. Haven't you heard that way too often?
Yes.
Yeah. Many will say that. They will also say, oh, you're wrong, so I have to go save you. I have to tell you what the truth is. Well, people don't realize that the folks on the other group are saying the same thing about you.
Yes, yes.
So, again, God's will is all about brotherhood. It's all about unity. It's not about grouping yourself. If you ask me what I follow or who I follow God. God is my teacher. He's my rock, my strength, and my shield. And it is the love of my lives. I could wish for nothing more. I could follow no man. I could follow no group, only God. Nothing I love more than Him. And out of respect for my brothers, I could never prefer one faith over another. That would be, in my eyes, poor performance and poor adherence to God's mandate to love your brother. No group will ever give you, or well, rather give me, what God can, because God is above them all. Jesus said to go silently into the closet of your own soul and pray there. That's not mingling with a private segregational group, is it? So, a word to the wise. If you want to love your brother, don't segregate yourself from him.
Very interesting. Robert Maxim, author of the Legacy series. The books are available at Amazon. You'll find the books available as well at his website, and a lot more information there as well. Are there sisters as well as brothers?
Oh, yes. Although some spiritually advanced beings get to such a high level in evolution that they're no longer bound by a physical body or gender. Gender does not exist at that level. Procreation does not exist. It's all a spiritual unity with a creative fountainhead. It's you and the Creator at that point. There is no gender, but there is a greater amount of unity and harmony among the beings in that level. The higher you go towards God, the closer you become to other beings, creating, shall we say, a spiritual unit where many are now one being. That is called the spiritual joining.
Just letting that sink in. There's so much of what is so profound in it. It's like you just want to absorb it for a second to make sure that I heard that correctly. By the way, all of these shows, and this is number 46 that we've done with Robert, you'll find at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, audio form, video form. You will find links there and encourage you to go there and listen to some of the past programs. Next question, how often do you astral travel?
Well, sometimes it's like every 2 minutes.
Well, that's what you were talking about, yes.
Yeah. But sometimes it can be a month or two, and I don't plan it. It's been pre-scheduled before birth. Actually, this morning, I was on a conference call, and this being actually called in on me, and I could see the being in my mind clearly. And we were having a conversation mentally while I was trying to answer questions on the phone.
So, wow.
I never say, well, hey, I'm busy. Can you call me later? Oh, no.
Yes.
It's now. This is important.
And they don't check ahead of time to see if you're busy, right? I mean, when they want to contact you, they reach out.
Well, they know that they know that you can handle it.
Yes.
Yeah, they know. And it's sometimes, Rick, sometimes I will, like now during this conversation, I've seen some blue flashes show up, and I know that that is a visit. That is a contact. It's a way of saying, hello, we're here, we're with you. Mm. So they're reminding me to not forget them and to think of them as I speak, so that what I say does not come from me. It comes from them.
And you've talked before about the importance of that. And I really encourage you to go to our archives and listen to past programs. Talking about astral travel again, why do some of us astral travel? And some of us don't. How do we not get left out?
A lot of us never gave it attention. But those that are now aware of it, as long as you keep, very humble, that's key, very humble and selfless about it, and putting yourself in a position of servitude and watch it happen, but be patient. You cannot have an astral travel because you say, well, I need proof, or I need solid evidence. It doesn't work that way. It happens because you're humble and you're a service. And you really don't want anything for yourself. There's nothing to prove. All you want is to have that close company with those higher sources. They are your teachers. They are your friends. So the only way that you're going to have those friends is by practicing humility and selflessness. And then they will come. Don't forget, it's only for medicinal and missionary purposes only. It's not for personal gratification or ego building. Of course, these contacts help you learn, help you prepare, help you learn more about yourself. So when you approach other people, you're now approaching them with less ego in your heart and more of them in your soul. That's who you want talking.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. You're listening to This Week in America, our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Next question, what will your next life be? Any ideas?
I've thought about that a few times, Rick, but never really seen anything concrete. So I've never really asked, going after the spirit of what I just mentioned. Being selfless and only caring about what I need to know. There's just one thing I've asked for. And that is, I hope it's not down here again.
Okay.
that's it. But if I have to return, I have to return.
If it is down here again, would that be bad? Would that be a failure, means, punishment?
Well, it means that I have more work to do,
more
cleanup. Yep. When you move out of an apartment, you take all your stuff out, you have to clean it. You have to shampoo the rugs, make sure that everything is spotless for the next person that's going to come in. When you leave this plane, this physical plane, you have to leave your house clean. You cannot leave anything undone. You have to confess to yourself and work out that your differences with your fellow brother and recognize those things that you... not given to guilt, given to service. I have seen a lot of things that I have not been spot on in the past. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've had to go in front of people and confess that and tell them, this is what I have done. And I'm here to help rebuild and clean up this house before I leave. I want to make sure that it's in order, and so that your evolution does not digress, but it builds and it grows, and you too can find a way out of this world. My visa may be up in a couple of years, I don't know, but if I have to return and continue cleaning and doing my mission for my fellow man, I will not hesitate to return.
It's interesting you mentioned confession there. The next question deals with that. I go to confession to have my sins forgiven. I got absolution. Do you believe that to be true?
I want to be careful here.
Yeah, I just asked the questions. It's up to you to attempt to answer them.
It's very tempting. Let me see if I can address it this way, because I honor everybody's upbringings, beliefs, traditions. But this is what I have to say about it. The fear of God, as taught in the Bible, translates into constant forgiveness. Constant forgiveness. It's automatic. It's an auto drive. It's an autocorrect. It's not condemnation. God does not condemn. The only one we need to confess to is moi, me, myself, and my God. No one else. Remember what I said just a little while ago about Jesus. He said, go pray in the closet of your own soul. And he says other things about being a hypocrite in public and things like that. Jesus' instructions were, confess to you and to God and to no one else. So since God doesn't condemn, and we have that clear from the scriptures, condemnation is what? It's of our own making. It is us that must forgive ourselves. Being absolved is our measure of sin recognition and guilt removal. Let me repeat that. Being absolved is our measure of sin recognition and guilt removal. The more you recognize the sin and the more you remove that guilt from that sin, the more you're automatically forgiving yourself. Guilt is nothing but ego, and so it's sin. And love, believe it or not, for yourself is the way out of this bag. You must confess to yourself and love, not hate. Let me repeat that again. You must confess to you, and you must love you, not hate what you are. Your sinful initiative is created by your ego. That sinful action was constructed from God's nature. Everything is God, even our thoughts. So if we have constructed a sin out of the ethers, out of creation, and that ether can only come from God's creation, and you hate it, think about this. Are you hating God? It's something to think about. That's why you cannot hate. Because anything in the universe, anything in creation, is God. And this is a hard concept sometimes to swallow. That God is only good. Well, if you didn't have the tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil, how could you ever know what was evil. If God planted that tree in the Garden of Eden, then God had created evil as well. It is not for us to adapt and do evil, but to learn it and to respect it and to grow from there. So how can you hate any part of God? It's just unthinkable. This whole principle is just so wrong, Rick. What was it that Hitler said one time? It's one of my favorite sayings. How fortunate for governments that their people don't think. Jesus said, study the scriptures. Please study the scriptures. So don't take anybody's word for it. Study it, and you will see this for yourself. Just read Jesus' words, and it will be so clear. But read them slowly and carefully and digest them, and you will see what he taught. He was all about love. It was not about condemnation. Look what he did with Mary Magdalene. Did he condemn her? Did Mary have to confess to him? Did anybody ever confess to Jesus? They had to confess to themselves and then give that knowledge to Jesus as recognition. That's how it works.
That's such a good answer to a question. I hope that adequately answers the question for the listener. Church theme continues. Do we need to go to church to lead correct lives?
The individual has to make that choice. If you ask me, based on what I said about grouping and isolating your brothers, is it necessary? No, it's not necessary. But if you must have it, by all means.
Robert Maxim with us on the program, author of the Legacy Series. And you can find information on the Legacy Series at Amazon. A fascinating read. More and more people are reading and looking forward to having a chance to read more of Robert's works. And if you go to his website, there's a whole ton of very strong information there. Taking listener questions again on the program today. And once again, we've got some of the religious questions grouped together here. I keep reading about the extravagant lifestyles of some ministers. One pastor was wearing $500 sneakers. It seems like they lack humility and their egos are out of check. Are they really serving God?
Well, I just bought a pair of tennis shoes. They cost me $5 at Walmart.
And they work like tennis shoes are supposed to work too, don't they?
Oh, they're great. Great. No, for the listener, this is something that's really painful. Whenever I hear it, it hurts. It hurts because money is their God. That's who they serve. My suggestion is this, please, those progressive people, that's what they call themselves, progressives, please have nothing to do with them, but only follow God. Only follow the still voice within. Don't follow any man. Never, ever another man or group. Only Father, only God. Period. Again, referring back to Hitler, Hitler would have never raised to power if people had not followed him. And this pastor, I believe he has two jets and has a net worth of $750 million. Joel Osteen is $480 million.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. They would never have had this money if people had not followed them. So is it their fault that they're rich? Why do we complain? We gave them the money.
Yep, we buy the books. We send money into their television programs. So we're complicit in this. We can't complain about it, I guess, if we're actually part of the problem.
Yeah.
Question: do you consider yourself a pastor? Is that your role?
I have served in that capacity. Yes. pastor led by my father. Yes. Today I share rather than preach, because I have learned my lesson not to interfere or promote division among people. Faiths do that. Beliefs do that. I will pastor people, not as their caretaker or as their teacher or as their leader, but as their brother, and love them as my brothers and sisters. That I dare any pastor to do, and do it for free.
Ooh, now you got them. That's it for free. And this is such a difficult question that people struggle with. And you have pastors that devote full time and are available 24 hours a day and eke by a living, and you wonder how much should they be paid, and you have others that are doing it basically as a business.
Yep. I help hundreds of people. I travel to Spain, to Argentina, all over the country. I never ask for a penny. It cost me a pretty penny, but my brothers have inspired me with a very important thought. They have helped me obtain employment where I earn enough that I can start putting aside funds. So when the time comes that I have to travel and I have to spend money, I have the funds. And I don't take donations. I don't ask for money. I rent the location. Anything that I have to do. Now, there are some people that beat me to it, and they will buy things, and I tell them, please, no, that's not what I'm about. I have to, and I'm sure those people are going to be listening to this. Now, I am grateful to them, and they do it out of love. And, of course, we have to be grateful, but I am all about doing this for free and showing the way, showing that, yes, we can help other people. And we can do it for absolutely free. It can be done.
And you are proving that. And I wanted to mention that this is a good time. You've got some more travels coming up. Talk about what's in the future. You've been here in the States, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, multiple times back to those cities and touching so many people on each of the trips. Where are you headed? You've got some big trips coming up here.
I do. On the 23rd, I'm headed for Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I will have 4 days of conferences there. Again, free admission, no donations whatsoever. I'm even buying people lunch.
Wow.
And of course I've bought books because I can get them for a lot less than those people down there can. I'm taking them with them, and I'm going to give them away at cost. So, again, make no money. The brothers have given me this knowledge. They have given it to me for free. How can I turn it into a business?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No. It's to get information on the visits that Robert has upcoming, you can go to the website rgaetan.com. Of course, you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to Robert's website. Interesting question here. We keep talking about souls and human beings. Do animals have souls?
I'll ask this question. What is a soul?
Interesting.
Yeah. Let me explain that so the listener can kind of grasp the full picture of this. A soul is a packet of knowledge learned over time, experiences learned in this dimension, other dimensions, all packetized into a thing called the soul. Now, those experiences are intelligence. Everything in God's creation, every waveform, every energy, every force is intelligent because it knows what to do. Gold knows how to be gold. Cold knows how to be cold. Well, that rhymes.
Yes.
Everything that God created is intelligent. Everything is intelligent. So if the soul is a package of intelligence and an atom is a package of intelligence also, because it knows what to do, it comes next to this other atom and it knows how to work itself out, how to send light, how to revolve, how to make a chemical. It has intelligence. Not as much as we do, but it has intelligence. So if we have intelligence, and that's a soul, and the atom has intelligence, that's a soul. And one little tiny waveform inside of the atom, a little tiny one, it's intelligent. It knows what to do. It's intelligent. Therefore, it is also a soul. So bottom line is, everything in God's creation is a soul. It's creative intelligence.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, if you're just joining us, author of the Legacy series. You'll find the Legacy series on Amazon. You'll find it available at his website as well. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get all of the information. An interesting question here, because we just talked about going out and talking to people, which you've done so successfully in recent years. When you speak before an audience, what are the most common questions you are asked? What do people want to know when they have a chance to sit in front of Robert and ask questions?
Well, the number one question is, how can I do it? How can I guess the terminology being, how can I have visions? How can I have astral flights?
Yes.
Now, the answer to that is, why don't you? You're fully equipped. And the problem with most of us is that our radio station is tweaked towards this world. They have a sale at the store, and I'm going to get a discount. I've got to pay the water bill. And that's where our mind is. How can we ever activate our inner self, our capabilities? It's like buying a brand new computer, Rick. Buying a new computer, and it has all this software in it that can do all this stuff. And you buy it, and you boot it up, and you're looking to the screen, but you only check mail with it. That's all you do.
Yes.
That's what we do. We have this computer full of all this capability, but because our ego, our interest, our sentiments are based on me, self, give me, give me, give me. All of these capabilities are based on give, not receive. It's based on give. So if you live a life of giving, this stuff is going to start happening. So that's kind of the long answer to how do you do it. And yes, that's the number one question I get asked.
That's interesting, and we can sort of tell. I can sort of tell in some of the areas you touched on, just in looking at the questions that we receive, sort of the repetition on some of these new listeners or people that are still trying to sort out some of the answers they've heard in past shows. And this one is, in fact, you touched on it earlier, but I have it in sequential here, and I will go through this. Do we all come back in some form? And you've talked about that. But this is a common question. We all want to find out if we are going to come back.
Do we all come back? Well, in my case, more than I'd like to. But yes, we do. We have to come back. It is part of that cycle to refresh this consciousness that we have in this dimension, to teach it. Our consciousness comes here to be a mentor to our lower form, to observe, to feel what it feels, and to tell it, no, that's not good. No, that's not good. Until that being calms down and regenerates positively, then we don't have to come back in any form. unless we want to come back and be a missionary and help others, then we choose to come back. Otherwise, once we overcome this lower self, pack up your bags, you're gone.
I had mentioned we had that question in sequence. I think I made up a word. As I must have been getting ready for an astral travel experience or something there. I'm not sure that I said that correctly. That was the next one up. And that's a common question. We get that every time we ask for questions, we'll get different variations of that. People concerned about if they are going to come back. And keeping with the theme of reincarnation, can we reincarnate on places other than Earth? Is it necessarily a fact that we will come back here?
Yeah, you pack up your bags when you're done and you're going somewhere else. You're only here until you overcome your lower nature. And I'm sure hoping that I can go back home where I started off from, but you have to earn it. You have to earn it. You have to pass tests. You will be tested. It's your true feelings that count. It's not what you play act to be. That's what gives you a pass out of here. And that requires extreme sincerity and denial of personal delights. How many of us fall in love with something? Oh, I want that new car. Well, it's going to cost me 10 years worth of work. No, but I want it. I have to have it. There's the problem. It's an excess. And any excess that we have in our life, it's a personal delight, and that's keeping us down here.
So much there. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, The Legacy Series, available at his website, rgaetan.com, at Amazon as well. Question, are we all immortal?
Built from God's essence? Absolutely. God is infinite, and so are we.
Quick answer to that one. We talked to one about Catholics and confession, so I'm going to skip over that one. Where do I go to learn more about the science of life? And that's an interesting question because we've talked about the science of life. I alluded to the science of life and Dr. Ernest Norman in your introduction. Where can people get more information on that?
Well, the website, unariansunited.com, is one source. It's excellent. It has the works, the pure works of Dr. Ernest L. Norman. There are other groups that have twisted his works, so that's the only one that I recommend. It's pure Dr. Norman's works. Also Legacy in my website. It's got it all.
And that's available, as I just mentioned, at Robert's website as well as Amazon. Hopefully, at some point, a motion picture. There are so many aspects of Legacy that's just that's so impressive. You can find all the information, the Legacy series, by going to Amazon or Robert's website. I got time for one more question, and I'll keep tie this in with the science of life. Someone wanted to know: is the science of life a religion? How would you describe the science of life?
Well, life is your experience. Science is knowledge. But religion is grouping. So if you group yourself, you're not really being analytical. So it's not a science. If you group yourself, you're living the life for you and for your group and not for others. So science, analytical. Life, brotherly. Brotherly, I mean everywhere, all over the universe, not just your group. So there is a big difference between the two. Science of life is not a religion. It's two opposite poles, if I could say that.
I'm going to stretch this a little bit here. What is a religion? What's your definition of religion?
Religion is, and this can be looked up, it's actually the belief of a group. It's almost like a society. You belong to this society and you have to dress a certain way, you have to speak a certain tone, you have to know certain things. You cubbyhole yourself into, this is the world according to us. Religion is pretty much that way. And again, I'm not shooting it down. It's just what it is. That's the concept of religion, that you will be limited to believe only these things. And you can't get away from that. If you do, you're a heretic. It's not allowed. And there's all kinds of loopbacks to misinterpretations that say, well, it's said right here. It said, you're not going to do this. But when you read that passage, the original, it doesn't say that. So, again, there's the analytical part of science of life. You have to analyze. What's the old adage? Trust, but verify.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay, I'm going to trust it says that, but I'm going to break it apart. I'm going to go to the original and check it out. What if the person telling me that is wrong or has some other purpose to be telling me something that's not there? And I have seen that on a lot of beliefs. I'll ask the individual, where did you read that? Oh, it's in the Bible. Where? Oh, it's in the Bible. Where? I think it's somewhere in Matthew 5. Nope. It's not there. It's nowhere. So there's a lot of stuff that's made up. And again, groupthink. Have to be very careful with that. Again, there's some people that depend on that. I'm not saying don't do it. Just please open your mind and analyze. And don't take things because he said so or because here it says so. Please, please analyze. Go to the original. You'd be surprised.
Oh, you talk about verifying. On your website, there is a whole section of evidence. So when you say something, it's documented. You have evidence there. It's a fascinating website. It's rgaetan.com. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And, of course, the Legacy series available there, as well as the usual places where books are sold. We will guide you to Amazon. It's about the easiest place to remember to go look up information on the series, as well as Robert's website. Robert, very informative, as always. The time always goes by way too quickly. You will have traveled between now and the time we meet again. Interesting to find out how that goes and what kind of questions you get during that visit. Thank you once again so much for being with us. Legacy episode number 46 is a wrap. We did it again with really good information. And of course, we'll encourage people to send in their questions. Go to thisweekinamerica.us comment section and give us your question. Or Robert's website, rgaetan.com, and there's an area there where you can submit a question as well for our next program. Robert, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you next time.
Well, thank you, and thank the listeners also. And if, again, my information is out on my website. Anyone that wishes to converse with me or talk to me, they're more than welcome to. Address, email, phone numbers are all there. Don't hesitate to reach out.
And no matter how busy you are, you always take time to talk to someone. So if you would that personal comment, that contact, just go ahead and get a hold of Robert. Now, again, all that information available at our website, the website thisweekinamerica.us. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, talking about the Legacy series, available at his website and at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. We'll be back on today's program after we pause for these messages. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.